as returning officer in this election for the constituency of Ballymurphy Southwest, I hereby declare that the number of votes cast are as follows. Brian Patrick Finnegan, 1 vote. James Ignatius O'Flaherty, 1 vote. Sean Thomas O'Gumboot, 1 vote. Sean Sheep, 1 vote. Arthur Piper Stout, 1 vote.
With Mary Adams, Jonathan Cantor, John Lloyd and Griffith Rhys-Jones, music by Nick Rowley, Nigel Hess, Tim Broughton and Julian Smedley, it's...
Oh, no it isn't, oh, no it isn't, oh, yes it certainly is.
Darling, I do hope you like this little bistro. Absolutely the latest rave. It's a non-vegetarian restaurant, strictly for carnivores.
Oh, I'm sure I will, Fabian, darling. You know how I hate cruelty to vegetables.
Yes.
Good evening, sir, madame. What will you have?
I think for me, the chicken Kiev.
Yes, sir. The outside of a chicken stuffed with the inside of a chicken. Flavored with chicken and nestling in a bed of fluffy white lice.
You mean rice?
No, madame. And for you, madame?
Well, I think I'll just have the roast beef and Yorkshire.
Roast beef and Yorkshire terrier for madame. Some non-vegetables for you, madame?
What do you have?
Well, there is chihuahua cutlets shaped like broccoli, green pea-sized bits of donkey, and things rather like onions.
What are they made from?
I'd rather not say, sir, if you don't mind.
I think I'll just have a green salad.
Oh, I'm sorry, madame. Fresh out of Paris.
I think we'd like some wine, please.
Very good, sir. I'll send the wine butcher over.
Good evening, sir. Can I help you?
Yes. Do you have any Chateau Whipsnade?
Really, sir, we don't do British wines here.
Terrible, sir. No, of course. Have you any Alsatian wine?
Yes, sir. And we have a fine selection of bone wines. And there's Chateau Mouton Rothschild.
What's that?
A presumptuous little sheep cordial, sir.
And what's this here? Côte du Rhin.
Finest Chateau bottled rhino's coat, sir. But I wouldn't recommend it. A little difficult on the palate.
Offends the nostril, eh, one?
No, it tramples the tongue. Of course, there's always our own bottled deer.
Oh, what sort of wine do they make?
Well, madam, a sort of...
Oh, all right. Let's have a giraffe of that, then.
Here we are, sir.
Look here, waiter. What's this? Disgraceful.
But that is the fly you ordered for starters.
I know that, man, but damn it, there's onion soup on it. Amon Idiot, 1 vote. Oscar Patrick O'Dingbat, 1 vote. Finbar Flynn O'Toilet, 1 vote. Declan Fergus Brendan O'Casey Connor. After a recount, 1 vote.
What do you want with me?
I brought this tape recorder back. It makes my voice sound funny.
Exterminate. Exterminate.
Shoot the man. We'll sing your
That's the longest books you've ever seen. Solzhenitsyn serial version fills Observer magazine. Russian novel, so depressing. Reading one takes days and days. Anton Chekhov, less long-winded. He just wrote depressing plays. In Turgenev, Brezhnev, sing Spassky, Rasputin. Sing Brother and Kremlin and Putin, the Putin. Oma Sharif in Chicago, Julie Christie loves Young Dream. Someone break that balalaika, we are sick of Lara's theme. Oma buried in a snowdrift somewhere in Siberia, frozen dribble in his mustache, nothing could be drearier. Sing Stalin, Gagarin and Rimsky, Gorsakov, sing Moscow and Ops, and why don't you Protop and Pop, sing Nureyev and Petrograd, Khrushchev and Tolstoy, sing Balkans and Bosch. What a load of Bolshoi!
Here is the news. At the Old Bailey today, a man was charged with an assassination attempt on the Prime Minister. The magistrate gave him a conditional discharge, saying that he should be given another chance.
King Kong, the actor and personality, collapsed and died today on the Houses of Parliament. A leading government spokesman commented, "Ah!" The entire population of Greater London was wiped out. Tonight's First Division football match between Arsenal and Chelsea has been postponed. The Arsenal manager described his team as dead, but quietly confident. For a tribute to King Kong, we go over to our dramatic correspondent, Ernest Wine.
King Kong, or Yes, Mr. Kong, as he was known to his many and terrified friends, was a giant among actors and a dwarf among things that are, extremely big. Hedy Vino, who starred opposite him in the 1944 Kong with the Wind, was one of the few people ever to get really close to the king, thanks to her great charm and sensitive crane driving. In the backstabbing world of Hollywood, Kong was that rare thing, a back treader. But what of Kong the man? In the ultimate analysis, he wasn't one. Kong was a loner. Behind him, as behind every great gorilla, there was not so much a woman as a lot of rubble. And now let us hear an excerpt from one of Kong's last films, the Oriental guerrilla classic, Kong of Kung Fu.
I saw.
There has never been a Hamlet like it. Kong has left a gaping void in all our lives. We shall not see his like again, or if we do, I for one will scarper pretty sharpish.
London, Derriere, O Baboon, one vote. Jambo, O Mumber, O Dinga, one vote. Muldoon, Clodhopper, O Pongler, one vote. Sean, please turn over. One. Oh, sorry. Sean, please turn over. All right. Siobhan, Mariah, Goat, one vote.
I cruised down to the beach party in my punkmobile, but it just wasn't the same without Angie. She had become my sole reason for living, and I did not know whether I could go on without her. As I stood on the beach alone with my ice cream soda, I looked up at the moon and the stars, and I said, "Moon and stars, why did the girl I love tell me she did not want me?" And do you know what the moon and stars said? Nothing. And do you know why the moon and stars said nothing? Because the moon and stars do not talk. I threw my ice cream soda on the sand. As I drove home, my punkmobile shone brightly in the moonlight. but the moonlight did not shine brightly on me. My mom and pop were waiting up for me. I said, hi, mom, hi, pop, and they said nothing. And do you know why my mom and pop said nothing? For reasons that will become apparent as this song progresses. Well, it doesn't exactly progress, but it does go on and on and on. My pop put his hand on my shoulder, and then he spoke.
Son, I've got something to tell you. Your mom and I just received a call from Angie's mother. It seems that she and Herbie Schwartz were driving in Herbie's car tonight, and...
My heart beat faster. I said, Pop, has something happened to Angie? He said...
Son, sooner or later, something happens to all of us.
My heart missed a beat. I said, Pop, is it something bad? He said...
Son, it's something pretty bad so far.
His words drove through me like a truck. I said, Dad, there's no need to say any more. I sped down to the casualty ward in my punkmobile and spoke to the nurse on duty. I said, Nurse, could I see Angie for the last time? She looked at me and took my hand. And do you know why she took my hand? Because I'm attractive to older women. As we walked through the ward together, all the voices seemed to say,
Angie, come back. Angie, come back. Angie, come back. Angie, come back.
We got to Angie's bedside and there was Angie's blonde hair on the pillow. As I gazed at her still body with tears in my eyes, a voice spoke to me, a voice I knew and loved. And do you know what that voice said to me?
Hi, buddy, great to see you. I'm slightly concussed, but I'll be fine in the morning.
Shucks.
Ness will get a single there as Mushtaq comes round from midwicket and picks up. Oh, and a blue bottle has just flown into the commentary box. And Bill Frindle has just passed me a note saying that that was the 1,000th single scored by an England captain on the onside against Pakistan in a test match at Lord's before lunch on a Friday. So, that's a little bit of cricket history that's been made today.
Also, Brian, Mike Dinesh has now made 34, which is the 19th highest score ever made for England by someone called Mike, who's got an auntie in Potter's Bar.
Trevor Bailey.
Well, Brian, this is a very interesting situation. As far as I know, this is only the fifth time a blue bottle has flown into a BBC commentary box during a test match at Lord's before lunch on a Friday. Perhaps Bill Frindle can tell us when the last time was.
1964, Trevor. And before that, 1958, 1949, and 1933.
But aren't I right in thinking, Bill, that an earwig invaded the commentary box at Headingley in 1937?
Well, in fact, it was a bedbug. And it wasn't the commentary box, but one of the players' boxes, Brian. And it wasn't at Headingley. It wasn't at Headingley in 1937. It was at Trent Bridge in 1938.
Well, I never.
Of course, there was that spider at Adelaide in 1971, Bill.
Ah, yes, Trevor, but a spider isn't an insect. You see, it's got eight legs.
Ah, but surely it's an Australian insect, like an Australian over with eight balls, Bill?
No, in fact, Trevor, a spider is an arachnid, like a scorpion.
But do you remember, Trevor, the scorpion that invaded the commentary box of the Port of Spain in 1932 and killed three commentators?
Yes, indeed. That record still stands, doesn't it, Bill?
Three commentators? Yes, I think so. But a tiger broke into the box at Madras in 1954 and killed two commentators before lunch.
Surely not before lunch, Bill. For lunch. Oh, and a man with a machine gun has just come into the box.
Surely a very interesting situation. Bill, when was the last time that a complete commentary team was assassinated? 1930.
names Pinken, Pfeffen, Spulton, Ingelberg. Lieutenant Theophilus Ogbrigabunker Ritzenkloof Pinken, Pfeffen, Spulton, Ingelberg. But people call me Lou for convenience. You know, life ain't easy for a New York cop. It's tough getting to work at 6 every day, and it's no help living in San Francisco. I carry 15 guns, 2 under each arm, 1 in each shoe, 1 around my neck, and 7 strapped to my inside legs. When it comes to the crunch, Pinken, Pfeffen, Spulton, Ingelberg never runs. He walks painfully. Well, the other day I went up to the chief's office. There was a knock on the door. It was mine. I don't miss much.
Hello, Lou. There's something pretty mysterious going on in this city. There's some strange character called... The Inaudible Man. I'd like you to watch this film.
Okay, stick him up. This is the Inaudible Man, and this is a bank raid.
About 2:30.
Hand over the door, or I'll blow you to hell.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's 3rd on the left and then 2nd on the right.
Now, we have no idea what the guy with the gun was saying, but he could be the Inaudible Man. I want you to find him.
I went out into the night. It was dark. I had guessed it would be. Then a sinister Russian accosted me. He was drunkst.
I am a Russian state agent.
A state agent?
Yeah, you want to buy a house in the Bosphorus?
I went straight round and called on Luigi Goldbergerello. Okay, Luigi, tell me where's the Godfather?
He's inside.
The Godfather was in his office with a couple of sidekicks, which he had sensibly bandaged. He cleared his throat. Then he spoke.
What's your business?
That's my business.
Okay. What's your business?
My business? I'm looking for a guy called... The Inaudible Man.
The Inaudible Man? Never heard of him.
The Godfather raised an eyebrow. I raised an eyebrow. He raised me 2 eyebrows. I said, see ya. He left the room. Then he came in again.
Who are you anyway?
Allow me to show you my card.
4 of diamonds? I should never have left the room. Look, mister, don't get mixed up with crime, you know. I'm a family man. This is my wife, Giulietta.
Buongiorno.
My sons, Eduardo, Vincente, and Marcello.
Buongiorno.
My daughters, Gina, Lisa, and Maria.
Buongiorno.
And this is Crispin Smythe of the BBC.
Hello. Is he in the family?
No, he's the producer of the family.
You speak up, Mr. Godfather Pettikins, and a little bit more feeling, love. Think of the ratings, okay?
Look, Mr. Pinkenpfeffelspottenkoppach, go over to 460 West 42nd Street, and you'll learn something to your advantage.
What's that?
That 460 West 42nd Street is not the place you want. No, you want the bar next door, okay?
I went over to West 42nd. Then I dived into a creep. That's creeping into a dive backwards to make sure no one's following. The barman sized me up pretty well and sold me a pair of trousers. I noticed the big blonde dame sitting next to me. I wondered who she was.
Hi, I'm the big blonde dame sitting next to you.
I thought as much. I'm looking for a guy called... The Inaudible Man.
You're too late, Buster. He's dead.
Dead? Dead! And never called anyone anything at all.
The Inaudible Man was a baby. His dad's his mom's the word. And he's never grown out of his childhood. He's always been seen and not heard. When he walked, he left no soundtracks. He didn't slurp his tea. His name was unpronounceable, but with a silent P.
The Inaudible Man said, and the Inaudible Man said, and everyone replied,
"Yeah, about 3:30.
The inaudible man turned crooked with a bunch of Brooklyn boys. He was trying to start up a racket. He wanted to be a big noise. He went in hush-hush money with a strange and silent gang. He carried no silencer on his gun, but the darn thing wouldn't go bang.
The inaudible man said, and, the inaudible man said, and, but however hard he tried, everyone replied,
down the corridor, third on the left, man.
The cops held no sound proof against him. They wanted to shut him up. He said he would come quietly, and they said, what, speak up? So they shot him dead with a silencer in one dead silent minute. He was always as silent as the grave, and now he's silent in
him.
What was that last bit again?
Oh, no, it isn't. You heard the voices of Mary Adams, Jonathan Cantor, John Lloyd, and Griffith Rees-Jones, and the music of Nick Rowley, Nigel Hess, Tim Broughton, and Julian Smedley. The script was written by John Lloyd, Jonathan Cantor, Jeremy Brown, Pete Spence, Chris Miller, Patrick Murray, Brendan Martin, Howard Imper, Max Alcock, and the producer, Simon Brett. Your announcer was the very wonderful Jonathan Cantor.
Column May Taxi, one vote. Brendan Butter, one vote. Peter Bridget O'Falsies, one vote. Column Declan O'Ziltblatberg, one vote. Therefore, I declare that those were the votes given in this election. Now, who the hell did they all vote for?